We're ready to go. Thank you.
Okay. Good evening. Welcome to the Wednesday, May 26th meeting of the Oceano Community Services District. May we get a roll call, please?
Yes. Director Gibson?
Here.
Director Replogle?
Here.
Director Villa?
Here.
Vice President White?
Here.
And President Austin?
Here. Okay, we'll do the flag salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands,
one nation,
under God,
indivisible,
with liberty and justice for all.
All right, thank you. And that brings us to agenda review. Anything anyone wants to change or rearrange on the agenda?
Nothing here.
Okay, then we'll approve the agenda as presented. Someone want to make a motion?
I make a motion, we approve the agenda as presented.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor? We'll just do an aye vote.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Okay, so the agenda will be used as presented. That will bring us now to public comment for matters that are not on the agenda. So each member, it's opportunity for the member of the public to address the board on matters of interest within the jurisdiction, but not on the agenda this evening. So with that, is there any public comment, Carrie?
Yeah, and just a reminder to the public, *9 if you're on the phone, and then the raise hand button on your computer or tablet. And I have one hand raised, and I'm going to unmute the phone number with the last four digits, 7957.
Okay, speaker, you're on.
Hi, I just want to make sure you guys can hear me.
Yes. Yes.
Awesome. Okay, good evening. My name is Erica Andrade, and I'm one of the founding board members of Five Cities Hope. Five Cities Hope is a local LGBT plus nonprofit that was founded in Oceano, California. Our mission is to provide an inclusive environment for the LGBT plus community and allies of all ages and backgrounds to connect with one another. This week, the Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande City Councils recognized June 2021 as LGBT plus Pride Month and voted to fly the Pride flag at City Hall for the month of June. By raising the Pride flag, AG and Grover Beach are showing that they support the LGBT plus community members and their cities are inclusive and welcoming. I am here as a previous 20 plus year resident of Oceano and a member of the LGBT plus community to ask the OCSD members slash directors to fly the Pride flag at the OCSD office as well to show their support for the LGBT plus constituents and allies. I hope you all can bring this topic up at the next meeting. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Is there any other public comment?
And with that was the last hand I had raised. Thank you.
Okay, thank
President
you.
Austin, might I ask a question of Erica if she's still available?
Erica, are you still there? I don't know if
I just unmuted her. I'm gonna ask her again. Oop. Erica, if you hit *6 on the phone, that should unmute you.
I think I did it. Yes, cool. I'm here.
Okay.
Hey, Erica, thank you for your comments. And if the board should decide to allow the flying of the Pride flag, would you be able to provide that flag?
Yes, we would be able to provide that for you all. And you would just let me know, and we would love to do that.
Okay, I also have a nice one. I also have one.
Thank you. Okay, that will bring us now to special presentations and reports. Sheriff South Station, Commander Wells. Are you here with us this evening, Commander Wells?
Commander Wells is not with us this evening, and Chief Lieberman is in training for 2 days, so he won't be here either.
Okay, then that'll bring us to our operations with Utility Systems Manager, Mr. Marchino.
Good evening, Board, Utility Systems Manager.
Tony Maracino. So Lopez is currently at 36.8% full, which is 18,177 acre feet. I also want to let the community know during the next billing cycle, the CCR, the Consumer Confidence Report, will be going out in the bills. That is for the previous year water quality. We are continuing to do daily rounds, weekly and monthly samples. We had 8 work orders, 2 USAs, 5 customer service calls, 4 after-hours call-outs. One was for a no water at a resident that the gentleman, the property owner purchased the house, and when we showed up, the house valve was off. The Oceano Park had a broken water spigot. We had to go shut the water off to that location until the repairs got done. We got called out to 2300 Cienega, space 69, for a line break, and we just got done paving that today. We got called out to the lift station for a power outage. Power went down last week. We had the top of tank one inspected and repaired again. It's been almost a year since that's been done. We are continuing with hydro maintenance. We had meter reads. We finished up our common codes for the meter reads, the highs and lows and leak detection. We're still continuing to do trash pickup. And our employee, Doug, just passed his D2, distribution 2 test. That is everything for now. Any questions?
Are there any questions of Mr. Martino? Doesn't look like it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, then we'll go to our OCSD General Manager, Will Clemens.
Thank you, President Austin. So staff has been continuing to negotiate with the State Water Board on language in our financing agreement for the Prop 1 grant that we received. We continue to work on documentation related to the UAL refunding that we're doing, and we expect to close that deal June 3rd, 2021, which is next week. In case you missed it, at the County Board of Supervisors, their last meeting, they commissioned a study on the financial impacts of pulling out of the IWMA, and I provided comments to the Board of Supervisors that the study should also consider the impacts to special districts, and I also encouraged other general managers around the county to do the same. I believe Templeton CSD's general manager did likewise. They chose not to include impacts to special districts in their study, and the schedule shows them coming back with a possible decision in August. And with that, I think Jeff would like to provide an update on a legal issue, court case that was very favorable for us.
Thank you, President Austin, directors of the board. This issue is in regards to something we've talked about before in relation to the fire tax. As you recall, about the time your board was pursuing the fire tax, there was a case which was California Cannabis versus the City of Upland. And that was the first case that where the court had held that initiatives, ballot initiatives brought by a member of the public do not require, for a special tax, do not require 2/3, but a simple majority, 50% plus one. During that time, there was still uncertainty in the law. However, in 2020, two Court of Appeals cases ruled in the same way as Upland, illustrating initiatives, holding that initiatives only required a simple majority. And in both of those cases, the Supreme Court of California denied to review the case. On April 28th, so just less than a month ago, the California Supreme Court denied review of the third like case, which was Howard Jarvis versus the City of San Francisco. Same issue on passing of initiative on simple majority, and the Supreme Court denied that case as well. So now that we have had a history in the past year and a half of the Supreme Court denying to review that, it appears well settled that special taxes brought by initiative do not require two-thirds voter approval, but only 50% plus one. So to the extent your board would like to revisit the special tax for fire services, your hurdle, if brought by initiative, would be much lower than it was last time. And I'll answer any questions if there are any.
Okay, that's very good. Thank you. Jeff, is there any questions of Mr. Minery? Okay, seeing none, well, thank you for that update.
Of course.
Excuse me, President Austin, I have a question for Mr. Clemens.
For Mr. Clemens?
I believe the e-billing is scheduled to come, I forget if it was June or July. What's the status looking like for that?
I'll have to ask Ms. Cassiola.
Hi. Yes. So the bills are about to go out at the end of this May, so it'd be Friday. They'll be sent out, so obviously not those ones, but it would be the end of July, so they would be due in August, those bills.
Great.
And I'll keep you updated if anything changes.
Thank you, Carrie. Any other questions before we move on? Okay, let's move on now to our board of directors and outside committee reports. Is there, Director Villa, do you have a report?
Let me unmute myself. Yes, I do. The 20th of this month, the Oceano Advisory Council met. And at this meeting, we had the pleasure of meeting our new county planner representative and also her supervisor. Her supervisor accompanied her, so we got to meet and ask questions. Her name is Shani Sheng, the planning supervisor. And our planning supervisor is going to be attending our meetings, hopefully on a monthly basis. Her name is Emmy Sugayama. So we discussed our main priority and that we want to accomplish this year, our goal, and that's of hopefully introducing the vacation rental ordinance for Oceano to the County Board of Supervisors and having it approved. We discussed with both of them the fact that we needed, you know, her there on a monthly basis, giving us input, and they both assured us that they would do that for us. Also at this meeting, we decided to reactivate what the community wants. And that's basically what the community has wanted for over 20 years. What most people will ask for when they stop and talk to you. When are we ever gonna have curbs, gutters, and sidewalks? So we decided to reactivate the committee due to the fact that our president said that he was gonna have an infrastructure act and that disadvantaged communities were gonna get a significant portion of that funding. So we're hoping he's gonna keep that word of his. Also thought that we'd look into maybe, you know, developing communications with public works. They do some sidewalk projects here. So maybe they know where we can get grant funding. And so that's what we decided to do. And also something that was brought up in this meeting was the fact that we only have $200 left in our budget. We have asked for $4,832 since April 15th and have had no response from the Board of Supervisors. Hopefully they will put this on their agenda and approve our budget, because we're only down to $200 and we have expenses. That's it. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Director Gibson, do you have any report?
Okay, on May 20th, I had a Zone 3 advisory committee meeting, and we received updates on water plant operations, on reservoir storage, and downstream releases, and we had no action items. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. That brings us to Director Replogle.
I have nothing to report. I just wanted to add a comment to Mr. Clemens' discussion on the IWMA and the Board of Supervisors meeting. I had also written in just as an individual asking the board not to proceed down the path of withdrawing, but if they did, to please consider the impacts on the special districts in their analysis. President Compton, or Chair Compton, asked Wade Horton to discuss why they were not going to include the impact on the special districts. And Mr. Horton said that there was not time to do so because the county schedule has them pulling out of the IWMA by the end of this year. And therefore they did not believe they had time to consider the impact in their assessment that they're doing right now, which in my view is a pretty lame reason because it's gonna have a big impact on the 9 special districts. But that's where we are right now.
Vice President White?
Yes, I attended and I didn't write it down, I apologize. I usually write things so I'm organized. A May 24th meeting of the Five Cities Fire Authority. We had a couple of major things we did. The first thing, we took care of the yearly resolution declaring weeds on certain properties a public nuisance, and that gives us the ability to, if people don't clean up around their pieces of property, have it done and assess them on their property tax. So I would urge everyone, and there's people from Grover, Arroyo Grande, and Oceano on the list, and they better check their weeds because otherwise they'll have a surprise with their property tax bills. And the deadline for that is about June the 1st.
How do you see a copy of the list?
I'm sure it's on our website.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're Karen?
On, you're not on it, but Halcyon is. Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Karen? Yes. I didn't quite understand, or because I didn't hear it all. Could you repeat that again for me, that they're going to fine individual property owners if their areas around their homes aren't cleaned, abated from weeds on their property taxes? Did I hear that correctly?
Yes. It's a yearly thing. Every year we declare weeds and vegetations on certain property to be seasonal and reoccurring public nuisances. And that provides us for a weed abatement program.
Yes,
if people don't do it, we do it. The Five Cities Fire Authority contracts it to be done. And then the cost of that contract is put on the property tax bill for the people who don't have the property.
Yes. Okay, so I haven't seen any of those notices on, like they used to put them on the sides of the properties, fences, whatever, so.
I haven't done that in years.
We're not doing that anymore, the cost of doing that.
In years since they've done that.
Why aren't they doing that? How are people supposed to know?
They post the lists on the Five Cities Fire Authority website.
Okay, so I'm going to be looking to make sure
I'm remiss of not knowing. They probably also notify. Yeah, I'm sure they notify. Wait a minute.
When are those fines coming out? Because I see weeds in every alley almost.
Well, it's people's property. Alleys are.
They're a fire hazard because they're next to their properties. And I thought, from what I understood, that we are responsible for half of our alley if our property is adjacent to an alley.
Well,
why shouldn't they be responsible? It's a fire hazard for my house and for individuals that live in Oceano.
Well, they are responsible. And
well,
we notify the people that they're in that they need to clean up their property before they... Otherwise, the individuals are notified who have the weed problems.
You can always just to see if you know anybody on it or if it's, you know, have like the address. So you can see if they're
I'm going to take pictures of the alleys of weeds, dry weeds. That's all I'm saying. I'm sending them to our chief, our fire chief.
Okay, I just give him notified.
Yeah.
Fine. But there are people on the list already, and I mean, I've got it right here. I can look and see. You want me to read all the names of the people?
No, I don't.
No need. We also took steps to start the purchase of a replacement wildland fire truck. That's the one with the four-wheel drive, the smaller truck with the big tires to go off land. We received a low bid of $451,051 from Pierce Manufacturing. They're the company that has manufactured our other trucks. That was a low bid. And it'll take 14 months before it comes, and it'll be 14 months before the first bill will come. It will cost Oceano $10,000, according to my read. It's a 10-year payment program, and it's $10,000 a year for Oceano for 10 years. So that was the second thing we did. And the third thing we did was approve the budget, which will now come to Oceano for approval. So, any other questions?
More questions for Karen? All right. Seeing none, then I do not have a report. We did not meet for the sanitation district last week. So that'll bring us to public comment now for the staff reports, the special presentation and reports. Item 6A.
And just a reminder to the public, *9 if you're on the phone, and then the raise hand button if you're on your computer or tablet. And with that, President Austin, I have no hands raised.
Okay, thank you very much. Now we'll move on to item 7, which is the consent agenda, the minutes of May 21st and the cash disbursements. Any comments before I open the public comment? Any discussion on the... Okay, so we'll open this up to public comment now on the consent agenda.
Just another reminder, *9 on the phone and the raise hand button on your computer or tablet. And with that, President Austin, I have no hands raised.
Okay, thank you.
I make a motion that we pass the minutes as presented.
Second.
The minutes and the cash disbursements?
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Can you do that, Shirley?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you.
Moved and seconded. May we get a roll call, please?
Yes. Director Gibson?
Yes.
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Aplogle?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
And President Austin?
Yes. All right. That will bring us now up to our business items, which item 8A is the presentation by One Cool Earth regarding their Earth Genius program at Oceano Elementary School. So this should be a nice presentation. So I don't know, are this Victoria? Yeah. Mary, are you the presenters?
Yeah, I'll give a little introduction to Victoria and Mary. So President Austin, members of the board, we have Victoria Carranza and Mary Barnhill of One Cool Earth. They're here to go over the Oceano Elementary Garden and the end of the school year review. So just a quick background. Since 2017, your board has provided financial support to the program. And so they are here to report on that progress. And I believe Victoria was here in 2017 and gave us the in-person presentation. So they are here to give a virtual one. And I will start your guys's presentation and share screen.
Thank you, Carrie.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Yeah, so just a reminder too to Mary, when I pass it off to you, we can just give Carrie a little nudge and say, next slide, please. So that way she's handling all the tech stuff for us.
We'll see.
Tech support. Thank you, Carrie.
We believe in you.
Yeah. Pressure's on.
All
All right. So are you guys, you see my budget one, or are you, oh, you are seeing the end of the school year one, correct?
Yeah, I see a giant sunflower.
That's perfect. All right. Yeah. Thank you.
Right where we need to be.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you for having us tonight. We hope this can brighten your evening and show just what you've contributed to with all your approval of budgeting items and such over the years. This year obviously has been very different for everyone. We've adapted quite a bit. Yeah, I just want to say good evening again, President Austin and directors of the board. So my name is Victoria Carranza. I'm the interim director for One Cool Earth. But as Carrie noted, I was a part of the team back in 2017. And actually, I had the pleasure of filing for some state stormwater grants with your former general manager. And it was very fruitful for our whole county to bring stormwater education and WaterWise watershed education, that's science curriculum approved for teachers, and integrating it in the school gardens up and down the county. So we've just appreciated overall working with Oceano on a more systematic level down to supporting the actual programs and landscaping and such on the site at Oceano Elementary. So just wanted to highlight that. You can go to next slide. So just a little overview. Our partners are very mighty in Oceano Elementary. We've got the school itself, the Lucia Mar Unified School District. NOAA is one of our partners, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. And that's where actually a lot of our funding for extra field trips we do for watersheds and marine debris, that kind of thing, come from. So we integrate a lot of stormwater and waste related stuff through that. And you all, obviously, which is why we're giving you an update tonight. And then the Sage Garden Project, which is more geared for garden nutrition. And so our primary tenets that we focus on are food, water, and waste. So next slide. Yeah, so I will be handing it off to Mary very soon, but I would like to preface this presentation with the fact that we really did not, as a team, just use COVID-19 as a scapegoat and say, oh, we're going to be hands-off, school's going to be going virtual, school's shut down, so we're going to wipe our hands clean and we'll see you whenever you come back. We have done so much work, not just on the ground, but you'll see virtually as well what we're able to do to bolster the education and the outreach to not only the students, but empower the staff with what we have resource-wise and focus on family bonding too over the year. So I'm going to let Mary Barnhill, our garden educator manager, affectionately we call them GEMS, our GEM at the site, to give you a tour of what's happened this year.
Thank you.
Thank you, Victoria, and thank you for including me. This is really exciting because it has been quite a year. And the slide that you're looking at right now, this will give you an idea of what we started with after the shutdown. We did not at that time have any irrigation in the garden, and there was no maintenance going on whatsoever. And all that remained in the whole garden were survivors. And a lot of dead plants and a lot of thriving weeds. And so the other picture that you see is where we're now almost finished with putting down a fresh coat of mulch. Everything has been restored, and not only restored, but brought into a whole different level of garden there. And we're still continuing. I've got one more week left, and I will be laying down more mulch, by gosh. I want to get this thing done. So next slide, please. All right, community involvement, huge. This is Casey and Alan. They are the custodians over at Oceano. They have been such wonderful people to work with. They have just helped so much. Every part of the garden improvements that we've done, where I've needed some assistance, I've been able to call on them. This is Veronica in her little outfit. There is a fun Friday where the staff gets dressed up with the kids. And even though the kids weren't there, they were doing it anyway because everybody was online. And so that's it. Next, please. Oh, this is huge. So this was a game changer. We had a very nice budget this year. And because of all these different partners coming together. And one of the things that made it very difficult for gardening, I'm only there one day a week, is keeping things watered. And so we were able to put in an automatic water efficient drip irrigation system. And we had our tech guy come in who does all of our major lines and hookups. And then I happily did my little swirly barrels there and placed all the feeder lines. And we are able to grow crops 7 days a week. Everything gets watered. So that was huge. Next, please. And this is some of the produce that we were able to produce out of this garden. 60 pounds of produce, we're still adding to that. It's been distributed through the school itself. Some of it I was able to take to the lunch program, one time in the cafeteria, another couple of times there were some volunteers from a local church here. And every time I got some nice crops, I was able to get those into the country. During COVID, who really needed it. Next, please. More of our produce because of COVID is we took a slight attitude. If we weren't going to have kids in the garden, we were going to produce food. So instead of having a little bit of everything, I focused on a lot of the same crops. And that way I was able to produce a whole bunch of beans. I became a bean farmer. And that was awesome. So I was very proud of that, actually. next, please. And now this was a huge thing that we did.
Could I jump in and just kindly ask if people are not muted to maybe do that so it can hear Mary a little better? Thank you.
So this is some excerpts that were from one of our lessons that we did. We produced so many lessons, and we had the goal of getting materials to the teachers to help them continue with our phenomenal series lesson. And this was the $1 million orange. I wanted to turn it into a field trip for the kids, make it something more exciting for them. And this is the Arroyo Grande Farmers Market. And all our vendors there were wonderful help to interview them, let the kids have an understanding of where our food comes from. And then they all got one cool earth hat for helping out. And we did videos for, oh my gosh, 8 different series, 3 videos per series, and every single garden gem in our organization did them individually from their own gardens so that they were personal, so that the kids could see their educator in the garden. Next. Oh, this is fun. So this was a mitigation project. Again, another one of our partners helping out on funding. We installed native gardens in all the gardens at our school. And so this was a bit of an effort. We got it. You know, I'm always grateful for sandy soil when it comes to digging a lot of holes. And so we have a really nice selection of California natives. And once it starts coming up to size, people can see, you know, I could do this at my own home. Next, please. Oh, and we also have the the monarch butterfly size. And that was designed by our program manager. There we go. And it tells the life cycle of the butterfly. And we also have planted, since this picture, milkweed, which is what the butterflies live on, the moth. Oh, and again, this is a little excerpt from our NGSS lesson. I am with the Sage Garden, one of my gardens, the other I am not, but with Oceano, we have the added bonus of the Sage Garden Project. They have their own curriculum, and it's very similar to our phenomenal series, but they do have their own way. And so, again, we did individual lessons with Sage lessons, all on video, all made available to the teachers and the students. And this is just a fun little page. These are a few things that we did when the kids were in the garden. So you're looking at a game that we would play, which has to do with pollinators matching up to their flowers. And these are a couple of statements from the kids. Dragons are real. I have one in a terrarium. So we have a little dragon lizard. And one was so sweet. It will be nice when we can all get together again. This little guy was, you know, standing on the outsides of the garden watching me, and that's what he had to say, and it really warmed my heart. So next, please. Oh, and another Sage bonus. This is the cooking cart. And again, I've got Casey helping me out, and we put that thing together. All the things that you see in the boxes, came from, I believe, Bed Bath & Beyond, so we have a very nice quality level, and this is something that will be used in the future when we're back to a more normal way, and the kids can do tastings again and get some instruction in how to cook. So next, please. So this was a very exciting day. This was my first lesson back in the garden. And we were able to work it out for a completely socially distanced, very safe environment. No better place to be than outdoors. This was particular was parts of the seed, and all the kids got to plant a little sunflower seed that they will take home and have to take care of and germinate. And they can plant it at home or come back and bring it into the garden. And so this was another Sage one. Next, please. Okay, this is what we had mentioned, Victoria had mentioned about the watershed education that we have been working on. We had the opportunity to do a virtual field trip with the Monterey Bay Marine Sanctuary, and teachers were invited. This is for third and fourth graders. They were invited to attend virtually. I was not able to see it. I was so sad, but apparently they had a fabulous time. Everybody enjoyed it. And this is the fourth grade bag that they received with all kinds of free goodies, including binoculars, a journal, a water bottle. And it was just a great experience for the kids. So here's the campus. This is a bioswale that was installed. I was thrilled to see that, just as an environmentalist. Was thrilled to see the Nephopia poking their little heads up, the red hot pokers. And I would love to have given a live lesson from here, but I did do a video lesson on sustainable architectural design. And this was a perfect example. And made a really great background for one of our educational videos.
Excuse me, Mary, for those who might not know, would you please explain what a bioswale is?
Absolutely, absolutely. A bioswale is a place that is designed specifically to hold water. Water gets channeled down into it. And there is drainage there if it should overflow the bank. But basically, the idea is to try to have spaces wherever water can percolate down into our water table. So instead of having runoff where you have cement everywhere and the water hits the cement and it just flows into the drain and out into the street and it's completely wasted. So this is a way of recharging our water system. And part of it is to cleanse the water as well. That's why you put in grasses, and usually it's a sandy base that has a lot of fat percolation. And then the designer who did this just happened to make it beautiful on top of that by putting in these very, very drought tolerant plants. That was a great question, by the way. Oh, this is fun. This is a cooking night, and the reason that we have cooking nights are to get families involved in cooking together, get kids in the habit of making their way to the kitchen and understanding how to do certain basic tasks. It also helps to support the idea of families just having dinner together more often. They just talk about the day. This is Lupe with me. She is a absolute dear. She was our interpreter. We offered that up should any families want to have an interpreter. And so it worked out great. We just went back and forth. The little guy down in the lower left corner, that was our sous chef. That's right. He was waiting for any possibility of a little taste. But that was a really fun night. We had, we had 8 families for family cook night. And with the funding from the Sage Garden Project, we were able to supply all the food. I had gone to Sprouts. We had a gift card for very nutritious food. We had a very ingredient-rich recipe so that we could supply each family with a very large bag of food. And then we just all cooked together. And it took about an hour, and it was just great fun for everybody. Yeah. And this is a lesson from just a couple weeks ago. I am an artist, and I believe that children will often find themselves through art. And I always like to incorporate that, if I can, into a lesson. But in this case, there was another Sage lesson. We learned about habitats, and we discussed microhabitats and picked out different habitats that we saw in the garden. And we also learned about upcycling, how to repurpose things into something else. And these little boxes that everybody has, they came from our water bottle shipment. So we had boxes and boxes boxes of water bottles, and as soon as we had these perfect, pristine white boxes, all the educators are like, what are we going to do with these? We've got to find something to do with these, and so birdhouses seem to be the thing, and the kids just loved it. Next, please. So here we are continuing with our icing on the cake, as I call it. There is nothing like a fresh coat of mulch to make a garden look finished and complete, much cleaner. And this is the process we call this sheet mulching. We put down a layer of biodegradable cardboard between the soil and then our wood chip. And these two young women over here, that is McKenna, she's our program manager, and Rowan, who is also another gem. And they came to help out. We had a real big day. Oh my gosh, we made so many trips from our cars with bags, and it was pretty wild. But we did that, we did the second day, and I probably have one more day coming up next week to try to really get it as far along as they can. My goal, personally, as the gem for Oceana right now, is to get the garden as close as possible to being ready to go when we are back to normal. Everybody has their fingers crossed for fall. I want that garden to be utilized as much as possible. I'm just going to throw out, it would be so great to have some picnic tables for the kids to work on. So I'm going to throw that out there in a wish list.
And, noted.
Again, we have Casey here helping out, helping us just to get it all done. And the pink flamingos have landed. It's always fun to have a little extra bright color in the garden. And, you know, thank you to the dollar store for playing all the pink flamingos for a little extra pizzazz. Does anybody have any questions for me or for Victoria?
Karen White here. Yes, I do.
Vice President, I don't see your last name.
White.
White, yeah. Please.
Yeah. I guess I was supposed to ask the president. Oh, well. If the parliamentary procedure has gone to hell again.
I remember your sassiness, Miss White.
I see you have some planting done. I was curious if you were going to go ahead and plant some stuff so that the kids could have edibles as they return to school in September. And I was thinking mainly of like cherry tomatoes.
I've got a salsa garden planted. I have at least 6 tomato plants in right now. Don't know that I have cherries though. Along the lines of
cherries and the grape tomatoes are really good for just the kids to go pick and eat.
They are. And we were given tomato starts from Greenheart, who gives us quite a few different starts. I actually went to the store to move things along, and I got tomatoes predominantly for salsa. I put in jalapenos. One thing that we also like to do in our garden is try to make it reflective of the community. So that's why I put in a salsa garden. And I also have pumpkins that I'm hoping will be all over the place by fall. And thank goodness for our drip irrigation system. Everything will be through the summer.
Game changer for sure.
Yes. And we also have arrangements being made for a minimal amount of some maintenance during the summer, but just enough to make sure that, you know, the weeds don't take over and the plants are doing okay. And so by fall, there should be lots of things. I've got squashes coming, but that is actually a great idea on those cherry tomatoes.
Yeah, you can still have time, I think.
Well, I've got a big old thing of pea pods that are going to the wayside. I'm going to probably do my last harvest. So we will do our crop rotation and take out those peas, and I'm gonna have cherry tomatoes in there. I promise you, cherry tomatoes it'll be.
It's on the list. The other two that a lot of gems put in that might go in for Oceano as well is either a flower corn, like for grinding masa, or sweet corn. So depending on what we have in stock, because I know that whole knee high by the 4th of July is the usual test for gardeners. So it would have to be pretty quick now to get that in time. And then sunflowers, just because it adds curb appeal and it's such a great math extension for seeing all the seeds and, you know, eating the sunflowers seeds and all that. So
yeah, great ideas. I'm hoping that the kids will bring their sunflower seedlings to plant themselves.
I want to also just be brief with if there's any more questions from the board. I wanted to mention one thing before we go too. So is there any more questions or comments?
Anyone have any questions?
This is Director Gibson. I don't have a question, but I just wanted to comment that you sure make it look like fun. And maybe we can enroll too. And I also appreciate that you're, combining art and science, feed your stomach and feed the soul. So thank you for the hard work.
And I just wanted to make a comment. Wanted to thank Victoria and Mary for the presentation. And I wanted to let the board know that in our Prop 1 grant application, we included $5,000 for education. So our plan is to have One Cool Earth provide that education for us on our stormwater diversion and infiltration gallery that will be located there at the Oceano Elementary School and down 19th Street. So now that we'll have to wait till the project's finished, which will be probably late 2023. We do have that in our grant, so we look forward to that.
Yeah, I'm glad.
That's a great idea.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah, I definitely will make sure McKenna, that one who was sheet mulching you saw there, she already received a little bit of the background letter that Carrie sent me on that subsurface infiltration area under the playground. I know it's not going to be coming up this school year, but yeah, excited to integrate that stormwater implementation grant with some of the WaterWise lessons and extension activities that we do. So,
well, I just want to thank you both for the presentation and for all the great work you're doing. It's really, really exciting to see what our kids are learning over at the school with this program. So thank you very much.
Great.
Any other comments?
This is Director Villa, and I also want to thank you both. I think it's great that you're teaching the children, the importance of doing gardening, healthy eating, especially here that, you know, we Latinos tend to not eat so healthy here in the States. And it's great that you're teaching them these skills they could use for the rest of their lives. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah, I guess the last note I'll make, especially with Director Villa's last comment, is just, we realize that there's so much love that Oceano's been getting with that SAGE grant has a very big sunset date. I think maybe next year is our last year with it for Oceano. And so I know we were getting a lot of special attention tonight to that SAGE partner, but that food cart that we're going to get, we get to keep that. And so more sustainable funding from local partners, the district, yourselves, other outlets like that will help us to continue using their curriculum and their infrastructure that we were able to get with that like very minimal grant. So just wanted to note that. Yep.
Thank you. All right. Well, thank you again.
Just thank you for the presentation. It's an awesome program.
Yeah.
Great work.
And I have a lot of thanks to you all, probably more so this year than ever as public servants, because I just stepped up to the Planning Commission for the City of Atascadero. And I just want to say thank you for your time.
All right. Thank you.
Everybody, have a nice evening. Thank you.
You might want to see if the public has any comments.
Please.
Thank you. We have public comment.
Yes, and just a reminder to the public, it's *9 on the phone, and it's the raise hand button on your computer or tablet. And with that, President Austin, I have no hands raised.
All right. Okay, well, thank you again, lady. Very much appreciated. We're happy to be part of it. Okay, so now we will move on to our 8B workshop on our 2021 budget.
So, President Austin, members of the board, in 8B, we have prepared a draft preliminary budget for your review. So, based on board direction tonight, We will bring the preliminary budget to the second meeting in June, the 23rd, for a public hearing item. So this budget was prepared consistently with the current budget. I have a slide for each fund, so let me share my screen one more time. All right, how is that?
I'm not seeing it, sir.
You're not seeing anything? Okay, did it once.
I'm waiting for sunflowers.
Not as exciting. I apologize in advance. how is this? Is this any better?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So yes, I have a slide for each fund, and we'll review the revenues and expenditures of each fund. The differences between this current year's budget and the next one, which is the 21-22 budget, any significant items or changes in each fund. All right, so starting in the general fund. So the estimated revenues, so the property taxes are estimated to increase by 4% for the fire and lighting funds. The other sources of revenue are from the reimbursement by the admin allocation from the other funds. So that'd be from the fire fund, the facilities fund, the water fund, the wastewater fund, and the garbage fund. So that is why you see a decrease, because there's been a decrease in those expenditures. So speaking of those expenditures, those have slightly decreased. This is because the current year budget, there were funds set aside for work related to transitioning from an at-large election into these new divisions that we will review soon. And then also for the initial setup of the credit card and debit card payment platform, we had set specific funds for that. So they have obviously for the next year decreased because those items have been set up. Then we have in the fire fund. So the revenues in the fire fund are zero because the property taxes are collected in the administrative fund and then transferred to both the fire and the lighting fund. Those can be seen at the end of each funds page under transfers and encumbrances. And fire expenditures have been based off the Third Amendment to the Five Cities Fire Third Amendment to the JPA, and that amendment had established the funding for each member. So then the lighting fund. The lighting fund in the draft budget is nearly the same. It has just slightly increased by a small percentage. The facilities budget. So the facilities fund presented in the draft budget has an operational surplus of $119,000. And it's important to remember that the facilities fund transfers funds to the wastewater fund for the repayment of the building of the sheriff's building, the original building of it. And this is scheduled to end at 2023. So it's important to know, even though there is a surplus, that is then transferred to the wastewater fund. So then we have the enterprise funds. So this is the water budget here. So the water revenues include estimates for the new rates adopted in October 2020. So those have increased revenues by 12% from the previous year. The expenditures remain consistent with last year with a slight increase. And the new rates have also included $75,000 to be set aside in capital improvement project in the first year. So you see that under CPI on the budget spreadsheet. So that's different than last year's, because last year we had set aside small funds for renovating or looking at the new or the old tank. So then we have the wastewater budget. So the wastewater fund has been drafted with an operating deficit for the draft budget for fiscal year 21-22. So that deficit is $92,000, but that is before the transfers. Like I mentioned in the facilities fund is still repaying the wastewater fund for the building of the sheriff's building. And then the wastewater rates, unlike the water fund rates, don't increase each year. So
basically the funding for this fund will need to be addressed in the upcoming years, as well as the deferred infrastructure. The last rate increase was adopted in 2011, so that will be upcoming work for us. And then we have the garbage budget. So the garbage fund has been drafted the same as last year with a reduction in franchise fees to lower the bills for Oceano customers. So the revenues and the expenditures appear to be budgeted lower for the upcoming year, but that's because the district was awarded the IWMA TAG program grant in this current budget, so the 2021 column. And any expenses that aren't incurred during this year will be then encumbered for the next fiscal year. So they were budgeted consistent with each other, but it just appears to be higher because the grant funds. And then lastly, we have the equipment budget. So the equipment fund is funded through the three enterprise funds. The enterprise funds basically divide up an allocation to the equipment fund to cover costs in that fund. So we have included a service truck, a lease for a service truck. So that's one item that was increased for the upcoming year in the draft budget. All right. And so with that, if there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. Otherwise, I can take notes of any changes your board would like to make, and I would edit them up for the public hearing in June. So let me stop sharing for now, and I can come back to it if anyone. Uh-oh. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
there we are.
I had a question.
Okay, go ahead.
Is that service truck the one who we promised after they fixed the bridge at airport, or is that different?
So to answer that question, there was no service truck since that bridge, so yes.
Is that the one that we kind of committed that they could get a new one if they saved enough money? So, okay. Yes. Thank you. Really needed now.
Yes.
Anybody have anything to Director Fogel?
Yes, I have a comment and a question. On page 42, the summary of the significant budget issues. First, my comment on the Five Cities Fire Authority is I continue to oppose any budget that continues to disregard the will of the voters and deficit spend to stay in the Five Cities Fire Authority in order to put the question before the voters again. And then my question is on the wastewater fund. It's noted that operating shortfalls need to be addressed in upcoming years, as well as deferred infrastructure repairs and replacement. What's the status of planning for that?
So that would require a Prop 218, just as we did with the water fund. And that would be coming up in the next couple of years. We haven't started the process yet.
So is it on the schedule? The fund doesn't get any benefits from the repayment of building the sheriff substation starting 23, so it seems like we would need to be doing that planning ahead of that.
Correct, yeah, so it ends in 2023, so it needs to happen before 2023. That's when the interfund would be finished.
So we'll probably be starting the process sometime next year?
Correct, yes.
All right, thank you.
Anyone else have any questions or comments? Can I get some more information on the fire? We talk about putting it on the ballot now. It says here that the citizens have to initiate the special tax. And do we still place it on the ballot, or how does that process work
So, President Austin, The third amendment to the JPA simply requires a ballot measure in 2022. It could either be by citizen initiative, and that would be preferable, because as Mr. Minery explained, that only requires 50% plus one. But if there's no citizens group that puts it on the ballot, then your board would have to put it on the ballot in 2022. So, the process would hopefully be a citizens group gathering signatures, and they would present that, I think, to the district. And we would work with the clerk's office to put that on the ballot.
And which ballot will it be? Is there an election in March of 2022, or is it November?
I believe I've heard it's June 2022, but sometimes that changes.
That would be, if this was put on the ballot, then it would be in June 2022?
Correct.
Okay.
Mr. Clemens, is it the same cost, whether it's a citizens committee or our district?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, same cost for the election.
Right.
Remember last time there was a lot of money spent on surveys and preliminary work,
right,
etc. That
right, but this is just to the clerk.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
I can probably say I believe there is a citizens committee. I have been contacted by some people who are interested in it, and I told them I couldn't help them, but they can go get it, and I believe they are. And I'm sure if anybody was interested, I guess we could tell them where to find the other people.
Mr. Minery, what is our position on this with SBORT, directors on the board?
Well, I think that
is our involvement here.
Your board has to remain neutral in regards to advocating one way or another, but I will double check on it, but I don't see that there's any harm in telling people where to go if they need to go one way or the other.
Okay.
I've been very careful not to be involved. I'm not involved in any way.
Okay.
So, Mr. Minery, just to clarify, the board can't take a position, but individual directors can act individually.
As an individual board members can act, not as a board, you should not take a position.
Can't, like in a board meeting, we can't say how we think about it, but privately as a citizen, we can speak as a private citizen?
Yes, correct.
Not as a board member.
So you all know I had concerns about the unfairness of the flat tax proposal, so I would be interested in working with the citizens committee to try and make a measure that's more fair. So I'd like to be in touch with them, Vice President White.
I'll tell them.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm sure we can't circulate petitions, but I guess we could sign a petition.
That's right. Can we sign the petition?
Yes, I believe so. But I will double check as we get closer to make sure.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, is there anything else then? On the budget, so then you'll no changes or adjustments, anybody? Okay, so this is just
you want to take public comments, see if they have comments.
Yes, we will open for public comment now on the budget.
Yes, and just to remind the public, it's *9 on the phone, and it's the raise hand button on your computer or tablet. And with that, I have no hands raised. And do we need a motion? Oh, excuse me, I just got one. Right at the buzzer. I'm going to unmute Brenda Lowe.
Hello, Brenda.
Good evening, Board. I am talking about the budget and knowing that there's still a desire to try to find ways to help fund Oceano's continued participation with Five Cities Fire. I did hold a meeting this week with several interested community members, voters here in Oceano, and we are in the process of setting up an organization to explore doing a citizens initiative. And so more information will be coming, but I am one of a few people as a contact, and any board member who's expressed an interest as a private citizen to have input on mechanisms of funding, alternatives, that kind of thing, they may as a private citizen contact me. And I heard one interest tonight that I'd be happy to contact that fellow voter in Oceano if that's appropriate.
Jeff, is that?
Yes, yes it is. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are you done, Brenda? Sorry.
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. So we don't vote on this. It's just
President Austin. I think it would be appropriate to have a motion to set the to accept the preliminary budget and to set the hearing for June 23rd.
Can I get a motion to accept the preliminary?
I so move. Accept the preliminary budget and set a meeting for June
23rd.
Thank you very much. Yes.
To consider.
I second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Can we get a roll call, please?
Okay, so President White?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Director Oplogle?
No, and I would like the record to reflect that it's because I oppose continued deficit spending to fund the Five Cities Fire Authority.
And then President Austin?
Yes. Okay, that takes us now to, we have no hearing items, so any received written communications? None, late, none. Future agenda items? Is there anyone you want to?
Go ahead.
In furtherance of the comments from Erica with the Five Cities Hope, I would suggest that we bring forward our future agenda item that we have in the list to discuss Pride Month and flying the Pride flag, preferably at our next meeting, our first meeting in June, so we can get it up for at least part of the month, okay, if we decide to put it up.
Is there any other comment?
I think that maybe we should consider just having the state flag and the U.S. flag. And since we are a entity that has no power over groups of people, we have no planning powers, and excuse, you know, basically we're I'm talking now, please.
We're getting into
I'm speaking Director Ropolgo, could I finish? So
Mike, please.
I'm gonna finish one way or the other, so just get over it. Anyway, we are not a political, you know, we are apolitical. We provide services. We don't do anything beyond that. And so I think it's better for us just to have a policy of the two flags, the state and the US flag, and leave it at that. And not that I'm against the gay pride flag. I just think then there's other opportunities for people that want other types of flags. And I think it's much simpler just to keep it to the two flags and go from there.
So I think rather than get into a discussion over this specific issue, in absence of a flag policy as general manager, the only flags that I will allow to be flown on the poles are the American flag and the state of California. And if that's sufficient for the board, I would just recommend taking that item off of the future agenda items with that absent consensus of the board to leave it on there.
I would, in that case, I would suggest that we instead of discussion of that particular flag, discussion of enacting a flag policy to the next meeting agenda.
And I was going to recommend that we take that specific item, which I started to begin with, off the upcoming agenda and not waste staff time on it, because
we already have a policy, right?
Well, I don't think we have any policy, and I don't think we need.
I'm saying Mr. Clemens just said that he's only allowed to fly the two flags. Well, let's leave it at that.
Mr. Clemens, so are you saying that you're the one that has ultimate authority, or do you want us to vote on it? Because you're saying end discussion. I understood we were going to end the discussion and maybe further agenda, but now you're making it sound like you're the one that has the ultimate word on it.
Yeah,
so
absent.
Why even have it on the agenda? Why even discuss it? I want the record to reflect that I believe we should fly the flag for at least a week just to show inclusion. Gover Beach or Grande, the whole world's doing it. There's a lot of people that I didn't even know in my family because of all the discrimination and stigma that I love, and it hurts. It hurts tremendously when you're stigmatized and discriminated against. So I want the record to reflect that I would like the flag flown for at least a week.
I am not objecting to that specific flag. My point is flags, period, have become so political. People curse you when you fly the American flag, okay? The state flag, the gay flag, the blue line flag, whatever flag you're flying, you're gonna get cursed at. And my point is, if we don't fly any of those flags, we don't have any authority to make any rules to govern any of those issues. So there is no point to us doing that.
So my point was just that right now, the only flags that will fly on our pole are the American flag and the state of California flag, because we don't have a flag policy. And if that's sufficient for a consensus of the board, then I would recommend taking that item off of future agenda items.
I'll make that recommendation that we take it off of the agenda.
And I support that.
I disagree.
So we have a motion.
We're just trying to find consensus.
A consensus.
We don't need any more discussion about
it. I agree with Shirley.
Okay, thank you.
What's the harm of discussing whether or not we should have a flag policy in general?
I think we've already discussed that, and I don't think we should discuss it anymore because we're getting into discussing. I think you've already heard the reasons.
The majority of the board, Cynthia, does not want a flag policy, and that's how it is. And our manager does not want the flag to fly. And I understand it's politicized, and I don't care, and I believe it's because certain groups have taken over our flag. So I love my flag, so now I wear my flag all the time on my clothes and on my head and everywhere I can, because it's my flag.
My flag too.
It's everyone's flag, so let's not fly our American flag.
And I flew my pride flag over Halcyon and my house all week, okay?
I believe you.
I fly Irish flags. I fly United Nations flags. I fly American flags. You.
Anything else on future agenda items?
It's very sad that the board will not show inclusivity to the community of Oceano.
That's your viewpoint.
President Austin?
Yes.
You may want to take this back over.
Yeah.
I have a question for Mr. Clemens on the future. To discuss, since most of California is in a drought and Lopez is, you know, not at a very good level, could you have a discussion of just, you know, what the public can expect and what the governor might do and the Board of Supervisors, and just talk in terms of conservation and what we might do to you know, make the community aware of the serious times that are coming.
At a future meeting.
Yeah, at a future meeting.
Is that something the board would like to discuss? Is the
we should probably
potential drought and impacts?
I believe kind of hearing things. I'd like to get an update on what we should.
Yeah, and I'm sure some people are worried about rates going up or you know, all the things that go with the drought. So I just think it might be helpful to get people in the mood to conserve and be ready.
Okay. I can add that.
Okay. If there's anything else, can we adjourn?
I make a motion, we adjourn.
Second.
Okay, we'll adjourn. Thank you, everyone.
Night, everyone.
Night. Night. Night.